there anything that wasn't fair? What did you notice? Children fetching water on their heads. I couldn't carry that on my head.
The Democratic Republic of the Congo,
it could be a potentially wealthy country, because everyone here who's got a mobile phone has products, minerals from the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
I didn't know that.
And yet the country lives
in poverty. That's interesting.
But yes,
Burundi did say that the country has huge potential. But it's not being realised because of the wars and the fighting.
The ability to have schools and learn to be able to help ourselves.
Yes. And when children are spending all day walking to collect water, they can walk 10 miles to collect the water and then walk 10 miles in the heat of the day back home again. I couldn't have done that. I couldn't do that now. I couldn't have done it in the summer when it was 30 degrees plus. It's much hotter in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and they have to walk and they don't have time to go to school. They're too busy with just trying to stay alive. Was there anything else? Did you notice anything about people here, maybe? Did you see any people in the film who might have been living here and thought, maybe that's not fair? The big church day out. It looked fantastic, didn't it? Great fun. Everybody having a great time. Don't think they have time to do that in DRC at all. So many, many things that just aren't fair. Did you notice the houses with the dirt floors and the thatched roofs? Did you notice how dry the land was? Did you notice that they were actually standing on an anthill and talking to us? And did you know that the girls, and Burundi said that she was the oldest girl in her family, she would have had to have stayed home and looked after the younger children, rather than going to school, because she was a girl. And also, the film wasn't untypical. There weren't any shops. You couldn't pop to the shop and buy something that you might have forgotten to get. You just had to eat whatever you did have, whatever you do have that's available to you. We can pop to a shop. Even if we're living a little way away from shops, it's not too much effort to get to a shop and to pick up what we need. So in the film, we met Burundi, and she lives in a small village in the northeast of the Democratic Republic of Congo, or the DRC. Her village is so remote from her nearest town, which is called Bunia. It takes 3 modes of transport to reach her community. You would drive by a truck to the river. You would then take a boat across the river. Now, I don't think the boats are just sitting there waiting to take you across the river, so you'd have to wait. And they're not ferries, so you'd have to do a bit of bargaining with the owner of the boat to see if he would take you across the river. And finally, you wouldn't be able to drive by truck anymore. You'd have to take a motorbike because the tracks are so narrow, it's the only thing that can fit down, either walk or take a motorbike down the track to her village. Now, can you imagine at the end of that long journey if your house was there? I doubt if you'd had many people coming to visit you, and I don't think that Burundi does either. So, many people would be put off by this long and difficult journey, but Tear Fund have a partner organisation in DRC, and it's called Action on Trade. And they are committed to bringing hope and restoration to Burundi and to other women and families like her. They run the skills training workshop, and that is enabling people to be lifted out of poverty. They're living up to their name. It's a French name, and it means self-help. Through the church and community transformation approach to development, individuals and families are not being given handouts or aid. Instead, they are being equipped with the tools and training to build strong and sustainable futures for themselves and their families. Through livelihood-building initiatives like the Skills Workshop, They're enabling people like Birungi to discover where the answer to poverty lies, that it lies within themselves. And in doing this, their dignity and self-worth are being restored. Birungi was the eldest child in her family. She came from a poor rural family, and she, like many other girls around her, was expected to stay home and look after her brother and sister. She was never given the opportunity to go to school like the boys in her village. But Birungi had an uncle, and he believed there was so much more for her. And he told her about the school's workshop. This opportunity gave Birungi the chance to start rewriting her future. And with the training that she had there, she's been able to set up the business, to earn money, and to look after herself. Now, you saw on the film that she said that she started off with one sewing machine, and she's got another sewing machine with pedals, which is much quicker. She bought a calf, she sold the adult cow, she bought pigs. She is becoming self-sufficient. We've also had an update at Tier Fund from Birungi. She's now had some more training through the skills workshop, and she now knows how to embroider using a machine embroidery, and she's bought herself a machine embroidery sewing machine. So we look forward to seeing what she's going to make with that. Birungi also grew in her faith and understanding of God as she spent time with her teacher. She found peace and confidence, and she's unlocked the skills inside her, and she knows how valuable she is to God. She thanks God for how her life has changed and for the kind people who taught her to sew. She's so amazed by the transformation in her life that she wants all the girls in her village to learn these skills too. Now, there's a special word for what has happened to Birungi, and that word is restoration. Restoration means putting things back together, making them the way they should be. It means making things whole again. And that's what Jesus does for us. He restores us to where we should be. And that's what, through the workshops, God did for Birungi. In our 50th year at Tier Fund, it's these stories of redemption and restoration that we not only want to share, but we want to be a part of writing into the future. Now, in the New Testament reading that we heard, that when Jesus returned to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue. On the Sabbath, he read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he finished by proclaiming, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He applied the verses to himself and his ministry. Jesus was saying to the listeners that he had come to make Jubilee possible. The year of the Lord's favor is a direct reference to Jubilee. And Jesus says it's for everyone. No longer was this an ancient law that the Israelites were unable to fulfill, but one for his audience and their neighbors too. He was saying that his mission was God's mission, and that he longed for his disciples to follow his footsteps and bring freedom, restoration, redemption to their communities, so that we can all say today, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us, because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, Jubilee. in the DRC, TFN's local church partners are doing just that, bringing good news to the poor and setting the captives free. They are helping women like Birungi rewrite their futures so they no longer have to live in poverty, because they are given the knowledge, skills, and tools they need for a good and secure future. And as we know, we are his disciples too. By restoring people to God, Jesus makes it possible for his disciples to live in ways that pursue the values of Jubilee. God is calling us, the church, forward to meet the needs that still exist in our fragile world head on, to bring restoration where there is brokenness, and to be a channel of his relentless love in everything we do. He calls us to be Jubilee people. How can we do that? How can we be Jubilee people? How can we be the kinds of people who will make things right and fair? Birungi said, "Without my training, I would still be at home without even enough food to live on. I would be suffering." This could have been Birungi's future, but instead, Birungi is a successful businesswoman. She's viewed differently within her community, and she has a hope and plan for the future. Sadly, in the DRC, 87% of people still live in extreme poverty. Poverty is far too common, and women in particular are given very little opportunity to learn the skills and training they need to be able to lift themselves and their families out of poverty. Women, just like Birungi, but who haven't yet been given the opportunity to rewrite their future. In our 50th Jubilee year, we have a vision to see 5 million people restored from material and spiritual poverty. Alone, we know this vision is impossible. But with the support of churches and individuals across the UK, just like you, and with God, we know this vision is achievable. And so I want to invite you and your family to be a part of this with Tear Fund. Now, as you came in, you should have been given a leaflet, which looks like this. We'd love you to be able to help and to sow seeds which will lead to harvest. So let me give you an example. If you were to be able to give £12 a month, you could enable two women in the DRC, just like Birungi, within the course of the year to learn business skills and flourish. Whether you can give £12 or a different amount each month, whatever the seed you want to sow, your support will make a huge difference. To accept this invitation and to start transforming lives today, simply fill in the details on both sides of the form and hand it to me at the end of the service. And we'll do the rest. If you don't have your bank details or you need to talk with your family, that's absolutely fine. Fill in as much of the form as you can. Then there's a box just on the inside. If you fill it all out, there's a box just here that you can tick. And a lovely person from Tear Fund will give you a no-pressure phone call later on in the week, probably. And they'll just have a conversation with you with no pressure attached. We'd also love you to pray with us. Perhaps each time someone in your household says, "That's not fair," you could use it as a reminder that God wants us to be people who make things fair. And you could pause and pray for Tear Fund's work around the world. Perhaps you could even write your own prayer. So I'm going to end with a short prayer written for Tear Fund's 50th year. And at the end of the prayer, we're going to show some pictures on the screen. Please use this time to prayerfully consider what your response will be and to complete the cards you've been given. The other thing is, you might have noticed I've got a rather strange ring. It's not a ring at all. These are two little key rings which are made in the DRC at the skills workshop by women like Birungi who are going through the skills training. And as we pray and as we look at the montage, I wonder if you'd like to have a look at those. If you are able to very generously sign up to giving regularly, you'll have these, one of these of your own to remind you to pray for the work of Tear Fund and for the skills workshop. So I'll give you those to start passing around now. I'll have them back at the end. And I'm just going to pray this prayer. So let's pray just now. Gracious and generous God, you became poor so that we might be enriched by your love. And you gave the world's wealth and resources as a common inheritance for all human beings. We pray you would strengthen your church to be a beacon of hospitality for the poor. We pray that, seeing the light of Christ's love, the nations and peoples of the world may fight not to kill, but to outdo one another in care for the poor and in actions of gracious generosity. Through him who for our sakes did not grasp the wealth of heaven, but instead gave all to live for us as a slave and die for us in pain, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.